The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus left Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting at the side of the road. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and to say, "Son of David, Jesus, have pity on me." And many of them scolded him and told him to keep quiet. But he only shouted all the louder, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped, said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man. "Courage," they said, "get up. He is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he jumped up and went to Jesus. Then Jesus spoke, "What do you want me to do for you?" Rabboni, the blind man said to him, "Master, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has saved you." And immediately his sight returned, and he followed him along the road. The Gospel of the Lord. I've been following Mark for most of this year when we're in green time, and in Mark's estimation, the way he lays out his gospel, this miracle is actually very significant. He places it deliberately at the end of, as it were, the second major section of his gospel. You could say Mark falls into three sections. The first one, and it's really to say, answer the question, who is Jesus? And when we get to the end of that first section, we get Peter. "You are the Christ," he says. Who is Jesus? "You are the Christ." But immediately before that, there's also a similar miracle, healing of a blind man at Bethsaida. But Mark tells the story of that man in a different, strange way, because that man first receives only partial sight before Jesus then laid his hands on him, and then he saw clearly and distinctly. So he's representing the disciples who were beginning to see, summed up in being saying, "You are the Christ." But if you remember, as soon as he said it, Jesus then goes on to say he's going to suffer and all that, and immediately Peter said, no, you've got it wrong, Lord, and get behind me, Satan. You remember all that from the Gospels. So they begin to see, but not quite fully, not quite clearly. After that confession, who is Jesus? Mark then brings this second section, second part to his Gospel. Where is Jesus going? And where Jesus is going, we're told now, is been on his way to Jerusalem. But he's left Jericho. You'll remember the very familiar parable where there's the man that's going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, the Good Samaritan. But this time, it's Jesus on the way, and he's taking that road that some of us have taken once or twice from Jericho to Jerusalem. And so, as soon as he goes on that way, we haven't had another miracle in Mark for the last seven Sundays. All it's been doing is been drawing us towards where Jesus is going, that journey to Jerusalem. And constantly, he's been teaching the disciples that the way you follow him is crossing our own souls out and putting him first, walking that way with him. So the sort of path of discipleship is sandwiched between the two miracles of the man at Bethsaida who was born, was blind, but then partial sight, and then clearly, and then Bartimaeus today. And Bartimaeus is often seen as a model disciple. It's quite interesting. His cloak meant a lot to him because he sat on his cloak, And people, you see them in the subways. A girl and a boy, when I was in Poole last week, sitting in the subway as we go down to the lighthouse in Poole, and there they were with their clothes and the cloth spread out for you to put money on. That was the beggar. Life in many ways hasn't changed. And you see, he didn't see Jesus, because he couldn't. But he heard. And faith comes by hearing. We hear Jesus comes by. Because someone tells us about Jesus. That's why the children go for their liturgy and we are listening. Somebody's telling us about Jesus. We hear. And so he won't be put off. And that's us too. As a model disciple, we should not be put off. But we can be. The crowds, our friends, people at home, peer group, peer pressure in our schools, wherever it is, trying to pull us away from Jesus. But Bartimaeus is quite insistent, and he shouts all the louder as the people are trying to turn him away. But then there's that nice word, courage. He's calling you. And in a way, that's why we gather. We gather to encourage each other. There may be others around trying to stop us coming. There may be others raising many questions. But we encourage each other by our presence and being together. Courage is calling you. And so it says that he jumped up. He jumped up, throwing off his cloak, leaving, as it were, the old behind. What is he to cast off? Either his old way of life or anything that's stopping him from following the Lord. So he jumps up, and then, what do you want of me? Says Jesus, that I may see again. You remember last week, of course, James and John wanted the best seats in heaven. This man's not asking that, he's just asking for sight. And faith comes through seeing. Seeing is believing, believing is seeing. All these things come together. And so go in faith. Your faith has saved you. 172 years ago, the faith of our early ancestors here, well, it was one Irish priest, William Young, who had the great vision. If you look at the sheer size of the building we're in, you think the number of Catholics in the parish was probably counted on a couple of hands, if that. And what a vision that there was there. And I spoke the same about 1908 when they built the church in St. Ives, and 1958 when they built the church, well, they didn't build it, but when we got the church in Hale. But the vision there was so that we could gather together, so that we could encourage each other in our discipleship. And our churches always matter to us. So was that question, if it were to disappear, who would miss it? Well, if nobody else would, we would. But the others would too, because they're part of our street scene. But you think that the vision that Father Young had in this huge, I mean, just looking at the sheer size, what was he saying, making this great statement that we are here? And that's what we celebrate. And of course, our churches always represent Jerusalem. Where is Jesus going? He's going to Jerusalem. And how are you going to get there? The only way you're going to get there is walking with him the way that's laid out for us. And I often keep saying the same things, but our churches are always laid out quite purposely for us to notice. And they're an image of the worship of heaven. That's why we join with the angels and the saints in singing the Eternal Sanctus, because that's what the angels are doing. And if you read the Apocalypse of the Revelation, there at the center of the heavenly worship is the Lamb slain at the throne, the center of the throne. That's why the altar is always solid and permanent, because it represents that solidity, strength in the faith. And the way that we're to get there is walking the way that I've said it 2 or 3 weeks now, because it's the way Jesus has been going. The way of the cross, which, as I say, Bartimaeus jumps up and throws off his old way of life and lightly, in a sense, and in a sense, follows the Lord, because now he can see, and he can see where he's going, and he's going to go with this Lord. So the stations are there, and that's why they're not taken away, and they're there all the year round, and they're to remind us that while we're here, if we're wanting to get to the glory of heaven, then the only way is that way. But we still come to heaven. And I think it's beautiful. I was remembering now, looking at the window, of course, because that's next week, All Saints' Day. And they're there to encourage and inspire us as well, to draw us on. And they said, if you want to get where we are, because we've walked that way, think of poor old Cuthbert Mayne, hung, drawn, and quartered in Launceston for other W. Launceston, there he was, for his faith, for the Mass, for the church, for all that. And this great statement here. And you see, saying, if you're going to get there, you've got to come through here. And you can't get there without that. But you see, the whole thing is saying to us, this is the way. It's the only way. Through the Lord to the Lamb at the midst of the throne. So it was courage, encourage each other. But two energies met when Jesus and Bartimaeus met together. Two vital energies. Because one has all the power and the other one comes and asks. And that's what we bring into our houses of prayer. They are houses of prayer for us. And our task today is to ensure that that continues, not just for 172, but going on and on and on. Because how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord God of hosts. Treasure what we have. But what we have is only bringing us, his people, together. We encourage each other.